Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter, the first 7 verses. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to Jesus to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. A friend of mine who's a pastor told me that years ago there was a man in his congregation who was well known in the church for using a lot of bad language. Sometimes just out even in the narthex, the lobby of the church. And it bothered some of his family members and other people that knew him in the congregation. Every once in a while, this man would come in and talk to the pastor and confess this sin and would admit to him that he struggled with this and it bothered him about himself. Now, none of his family members knew that he had that sorrow, if you will, that sadness about his sin in his heart, but he confessed that to his pastor frequently. The man died, and this friend of mine, as a pastor, said that he included this in his funeral sermon and talked about how this man used to come in and repent to him of this problem that he dealt with and struggled with. And afterwards, so many of the family members said, "Wow, we were so glad to hear that. We didn't know that. That was refreshing to know that his sin bothered him." It's interesting, isn't it, that repentance, in other words, when you sense in your own conscience that what you've done is wrong, and when you seek God's forgiveness, repentance inside of us is a very secret thing. It's a very hidden thing. Nobody else really knows about it but you, certainly God. Now, there are times when I can be tempted to act as though I am very sorry for my sin and to go through the process of looking spiritually penitent in front of people, in front of Christian people especially, but maybe in my heart, I really don't want to let it go. Maybe it's just a facade. I can be tempted to make this repentance activity just kind of a sham, a mask, if you will, to act as though I have all of this great piety before God, but really my heart loves my sin and doesn't want to let it go. And when that happens, we tend to block out the voice of Christ. We tend to wander away from his voice. Even though we might visibly appear to be with the flock, if you will, the fellow Christians in the church, in our hearts, in our consciences, in our minds, we can be miles away. For just a moment, let's consider the audience that Jesus is giving this old familiar parable to in our text about the lost sheep. We're told that the Pharisees and scribes were sitting there listening to him, along with the tax collectors and sinners, those who were considered the really outcast of society, the really immoral people of society. But here were these Pharisees and scribes. These were very religious people. These were people very devoted to God, very outwardly devoted to God. These are the people that sat right in the front in the church. These were the people that took time to memorize Bible passages. These were the people that really took God's word to heart. These were the people in society that you could count on to stand up for the moral principles that were in the Word of God. Starts to sound kind of familiar to us, doesn't it? Starts to sound like us. And these are the ones Jesus tells this parable to to have them keep straight in their own mind and heart the things about the kingdom of God. Going out to rescue lost sheep is the number one concern of the shepherd. In fact, he sets everything else aside to go and take care of this number one task. Our text says he leaves the 99 in the wilderness and goes after the one which is lost until he finds it. There's no higher duty on his list of priorities than to find somebody who belongs to his flock but has wandered away and is now in danger. You really get a sense of the personalized, individualized attention that our Lord Jesus has when it comes to us, the members of his kingdom. How much he is concerned about me and what's going on in my head and in my heart and in my conscience. That's all that matters to him. And how focused he is on that. And how he knows exactly which cliff I like to go and stand nearby that's dangerous for me. The one that really gets my attention. He knows where to find me when I've walked away from the flock. He knows each one of his sheep. He knows our weaknesses. He knows the things that can suck us away from him. He knows our tendency to wander. He knows our tendency to block out his voice to us. All of that. But this is then the essence of his work as the shepherd, is to go find that soul wherever we are, to find you, to find me, and to call us back. And all of the other programs and missions of his church ultimately need to be focused on this one activity. It's interesting in the context of this neat parable that Jesus gives us that the action part of this is not with the sheep, it's with the shepherd. You see, when the sheep get found, it's not because the sheep did something. The sheep are found by the activity of the shepherd. God is the one who finds us. God is the one who has to do the hunting. He's the one that has to do the searching. He's the one that has to go out to the cliffs where we would think we're fine and to grab us and to bring us back from danger. The work of repentance that happens in my heart and in your heart when God the Holy Spirit gets me to realize how wicked and evil and sinful I am and the things that I have done that offend him and that would someday on Judgment Day cause me to not be allowed into heaven, when God causes me to sense that in myself and in my conscience, it's kind of neat to think and to know that's the shepherd finding us. That's God's activity in our heart. That's not us doing it. That's God. Repentance is his doing. You know, think about all the things going on in the news right now. You know, if you took out a Time magazine or New York Times, whatever, and turned on the news tonight, think of all the big events that are going on in world history right now. The wars that are taking place, all the political campaigning that's going on, the trials that are going on right now, all the big important events that are drawing attention. The Olympics are coming up this summer. But what does Jesus tell us that heaven's attention is focused on? It's focused in on that secret little thing going on inside of my heart, whether or not I am sorry for my many sins. That's where heaven is targeting and looking at. This is what is drawing God's attention. God pays less attention to how much you and I as Christians cry out against all the evil in the world, and there's plenty out there, and it's okay for us to do that, but he pays less attention to that than he does to how you and I are personally dealing with our own faults and our own weaknesses and our own sins. That's what he's looking at. That's where his attention is focused. Johann Gerhard once said, speaking of the great irony of Christianity, the very foundation and principle for a holy life is a godly sorrow over your sin. Notice the joy that the shepherd has when he finds the sheep and when he grabs that sheep and brings it back to the fold. There's nothing that gives him greater happiness because that's what his whole mission is about. We think about the various people that Jesus met during his public ministry. Some of them who were the most wretched sinners, prostitutes, whores, tax collectors that were robbing people, murderers, thieves. And yet when they repented, the joy that that gave the shepherd to find them and to bring them back. And you can see that even reflected in his pastors. When his pastors deal with people that come to them and are sorry for their sins, like that guy I mentioned at the beginning of my sermon, it gave him great joy to announce the forgiveness of Christ to that soul, just like I do to you today. Whatever cliff your Lord has found you next to today through his word and is bringing you back into his church through repentance, I have the joy and privilege of rejoicing over that, telling you of the grace of God and the forgiveness of Christ that covers all of that sin. God said through the prophet Isaiah, this is a great passage, "This is the one I esteem," that means I hold highly, "this is the person I esteem, he who is humble and contrite and trembles at my word." And so once repentance has taken place, the good shepherd cannot wait to show his grace and forgiveness to the penitent sinner. Think about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Immediately, God doesn't waste any time to tell them of the Savior who's coming. King David, when he finally gets it through his thick skull and heart and repents of his sin of adultery with Bathsheba, as soon as he confesses his sin, God has the prophet Nathan tell him right away, "Your sins are forgiven." Isaiah, the same thing when he bows before God in humility. Peter, when he drops on the beach and says, "Get away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man," Jesus rushes to his side and tells him of his grace and forgiveness. And I'm here to do the same thing for you today through the mouth of Christ, that you likewise have been lifted up in his mercy and forgiveness. Whatever cliff, whatever jagged, dangerous cliff your Lord Jesus has called you from today, let us rejoice with him as he places us on his shoulders and takes us back to his fold. Amen. Please rise. And we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, all of us like sheep have gone astray, having allowed ourselves to be led away from the right path by the devil and our own sinful flesh. We beseech you graciously to forgive us all of our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, and enliven our hearts by your Holy Spirit that we may abide in your word and in true repentance and a steadfast faith continue in your church until the end of time and obtain eternal salvation. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.